The title of today's sermon is Latter Days, Part 4. We come to the part where we've been talking about diakrino. We're talking about discernment. Being converted demands that a Christian be extremely careful in discerning all matters, in discernment, especially discernment. This is the most important one that we're going to be looking at. I wanted to get it all in with one thought and what it means, because we need to understand this. It's a salvational issue, brethren, believe it or not, and it's something that we haven't spent enough time on. It has to be a part of you, this discernment. It's not just something superficial. I know it gets very technical when you're saying things like diakrino, catakrino, and those kind of things, but discernment, damnation, this is very, very serious what's being said here, and the church has missed a lot of this, and so we're going to go into it. Let's begin in Romans 14. You're going to see how serious this word diakrino is. This is strange, and Paul likes to do this. Romans 14, we'll talk about the problem of eating meat that is offered to an idol or being a vegetarian. Paul addresses that in two or three places, but right here, that's what he's doing in Romans 14. Some of the brethren were bothered because they thought meat offered to idols polluted the meat and the brethren who ate it. Let's go back to their day. Nearly all the butchers back then in the big towns, not out on individual farms, but in town like Jerusalem, all the butchers belonged to a pagan guild. It's like a union that blessed the meat as they dressed it. They just did it. We still have that today. Some Muslims have to have their meat stamped with a halal stamp of approval. Some Jews have to have their meat stamped with a kosher stamp of approval. But Paul looked at this matter of this meat and he said, look, it's a moot point. It's a matter of no practical value or importance because Paul said, look, a lifeless idol can't change the meat. You put a piece of meat or you pass a telephone pole coming home from the grocery store, it doesn't change the meat. You put it in front of a lifeless idol, it's not going to change the meat. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 25, just put this one in your notes. Paul said, whatever is sold in the shambles, that's the meat market, eat it, asking no question for conscience sake. However, it became a problem in the early church because some of the brethren were getting offended at it. People get offended at different things that shouldn't matter to a Christian at all, but they make a big point of it. So here's what Paul says, Romans 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Paul's saying, look, it's like our phrase, splitting hairs. Okay, follow me close, brethren, because Paul plays with these words for a very real purpose. If you split a hair, you're going through the hair. Remember how dia and diakrino, like diameter, meant going through? This word disputations, this splitting of hairs, that's the word Greek 1253, means it has a little bit different ending on it. Paul says, fellowship, yes, but arguments about what to eat, no. We're going to have some peace here in the house. That word 1253 is, instead of diakrino, is diakrisis, but it's still the same word, just a little bit different ending. It's a takeoff on diakrino. Judicial estimation, discerning, disputation, those kind of things. So Paul concludes, either way, whether you eat the meat or don't eat the meat, whether you're a vegetarian or not a vegetarian, look, that's fine before God. Doesn't matter. But drop down to Romans 14 and verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine or anything whereby your brother stumbles or is offended, or is made weak. Verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. Verse 23. And he that doubts, there's diakrino again, is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, brethren, I want to show you something. Romans 14, 23 is one of Paul's little gems. Paul does this a lot, and we miss it because we don't know Greek. I'm going to share it with you. this phrase has a poetic resonance in it to help drive it home. What Paul said, if you hear it in the Greek, is diakrino katakrino. There's no other word there, just those two words next to each other. It's diakrino, that's our word for discern, and katakrino, which means damned or condemned. So Paul says, he that is diakrino katakrino. Diakrino katakrino. Try to say that real fast three times. They both have that same judgment in them. One is the judgment to understand correctly. The other one is the judgment to condemnation. It's almost as poetic in English as well. Doubts is damned. Doubts is damned. He that doubts is damned. That's the way it works in the Greek too. It's just as valid as discerns is damned. What's Paul saying here, brethren? We're trying to get a good grip on what diakrino means, and it looks like it's all over the map. At least when I was studying this, I went, wow, how are we going to ever tie this together? Paul is saying that if you eat something, not caring if you offend somebody else, you are guilty of sin and condemned. You don't do that. You don't violate other people's conscience. You don't violate other people's sensitivity. Our faith is a faith of love, and you don't do that to people. Faith here is our entire belief system, and it's being violated by somebody being needlessly offended. We're not to do that. Yes, we tell the truth, and sometimes we have to be givers of tough love. Paul explains that you can't just run roughshod over people. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, brethren. 1 Corinthians 8, 12 and 13. But when you sin so against the brethren and you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So he's explaining what this is about. Wherefore, if eating meat offends my brother, Paul says, I'll eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I offend my brother. And it's not that big of a deal. I'm not going to offend somebody needlessly, cause them to go out of the church. Paul is bending over so backwards not to offend people. Not like we saw when I described the two churches. Some of the people were driven out, didn't care how much they were offended. Still don't care how much they're offended. Paul says, look, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to offend anybody. I'll give up meat for the rest of my life if that's what it takes. So being converted demands that a Christian be extremely careful in discerning all matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you can turn over there, because Paul uses a number of different words with the prefix krino on it. Krino means to judge or a judge, depending on the context. And it's part of the word. The one we're going to look at now is anakrino, A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O. And it means to scrutinize, investigate, interrogate, determine, ask a question, discern, examine, judge, search. These words try to put the best meaning on it when they translate it, but we're looking at it in context so that we can get an idea of what's being said when the Bible uses the word diakrino. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 15, we read, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. That's the word anakrino. Now I want to turn over just a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Being converted demands that a Christian be extremely careful in discerning all matters. We're held responsible for these things, brethren. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 6, we're reading about some division that's in a church. Paul speaks about a great deal of division in the church of God. In part 3, we talked about the division in the church. A tale of two churches. The big churches are divided, and they're certainly divided from the smaller churches. And what happens? After they come into God's church to be a part of the one body of Christ, what happens? They're left destitute. They have no more emotional strength to comfort them. There's no way that they can work their way through any more difficulties. They're entirely spent, hurt. I'm talking about grown people, mature people. They can't take it anymore. Now, God's discernment is evident. We're talking about discernment now. God knows what's happening, and God will hold the guilty accountable. It's a big part of today's message. There are some that have caused the problem. They haven't discerned who God's people are. That's a terrible thing. We're going to look at an example now where diakrino means differ, D-I-F-F-E-R, differ. 1 Corinthians 4 in verse 7. Who makes you to differ from another? So that word differ is diakrino. You see what I was talking about, brethren, how difficult it is to understand the meaning of this word and how it's used? The King James translators put all kind of monikers on this word, trying to put the right amount of influence and say it as best they could. What makes you to differ from another? And what have you that you didn't receive? Came into this world naked and you're not going to go out with anything. If you did receive it, why are you all puffed up? Why are you glorying? As if you didn't receive it, like did it all myself. So that word is differ. I just wanted you to see that particular translation. Let's go back a few more pages to 1 Corinthians 6. And we've seen that diakrino means to judge, to decide. But it means more than judge. Plain old krino would be judge. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I think that should be a question mark. Verse 5, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So what we find here, the word judge is diakrino, right there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. Now, I want to show you where it means partial as well. Diakrino means partial, P-A-R-T-I-A-L, partial. Let's go back to the book of James. In the book of James, I'm just going to give you two, three more examples to show you all the different ways that the word diakrino is translated. In James 2 and verse 4, we read, are you not then partial, diakrino, in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Okay, and then one more for contending, where diakrino means contending. In Jude, while we're back here, Jude, verse 9, there are no chapters in Jude. In here, it means contending again. Jude, verse 9, yet Michael, speaking of the archangel, when contending with the devil, that word contending. So here is an archangel contending with Satan the devil. What Michael was doing was diakrino. So you can imagine, just picture the archangel Michael, if you could. Doesn't look like modern day renderings of angels with two wings. But he's contending. He's diakrino with the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses and so forth. Okay, and then while we're in Jude, go down to verse 22, and here it's translated difference, D-I-F-F-E-R-E-N-C-E. And of some have compassion, making a difference, diakrino. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. I couldn't believe this. I was working on this message. My wife says, that's enough, come on. She had recorded Bonanza. And so we were watching Bonanza on TV with Hoss Cartwright. And he described the meaning of discernment, I thought, very, very well, though he wasn't meaning to do it, and he doesn't know the word discernment, and he didn't know what it meant, even though Hoss was the only one of the cast of Bonanza that had a college education. He was the smart one, but he played the dumb one. So anyway, it was an episode where Hoss had a conflicted uncle who at times seemed to be the good guy, and at other times he seemed to be the bad guy. And Hoss wanted to love his uncle, and he wanted to know him and understand him, but he couldn't get his mind around this character that played his uncle. Hoss could not figure him out, all the way to the very end of the story. And at the end of the show, everything became clear. And one of the concluding lines in the TV show, Hoss is talking to his dad, Ben Cartwright, and he says, "Pa, did you ever come to the point that you knew someone so well that you thought you could go right through his mind and into his heart?" And I thought, wow, that's the closest thing. I mean, I've read all of these examples in the scriptures about contending and partial and differ and all that kind of stuff. But Hoss nailed it. You go right through his mind. Here's a man. You want to know what makes him tick. You need to discern who he is. Why does he seem bad? Why does he seem good? And Hoss says you go through his mind and into his heart. Dia, through, making a separation. Krino, to judge correctly, and so forth. I thought it was a good example. I just wanted to share it with you. It was an example of Dia Krino. I want to give you next an example of God's discernment. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I told you that there are different endings to the word discern, and this one here is discerner, someone who discerns, a discerner. And it only occurs once in the scriptures. So I like words that only occur one time, and Paul uses it naturally because he's very good at this sort of thing. It says in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, speaking of the millennial rest and being under God's tutelage and so forth, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That's what our forefathers did when they came out of Egypt. They died in the wilderness. That's what he's talking about. Verse 12, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper." Now picture this whole verse. This is a very good verse. You need to mark it, flag it, whatever you do, bold it, because this is one of the better descriptions I find in the Bible for the word diakrino. It doesn't say this means diakrino, but the word of God is the power of diakrino. Let me put it that way. Verse 12. "The word of God is quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword." We're talking about cutting through butter. Well, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing. You see that concept of dia going through the circle, half on this side and the half on that side, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, diakrino, but it's a little bit different Greek word, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, "Neither is there anything created that's not manifest in God's sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Yes, God is the perfect discerner. So diakrino means discerning. In this next example, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. And brethren, if you haven't turned to some, you've got to turn to this one. This is the most important thing that we're going to see in today's sermon when we talk about discerning. 1 Corinthians 11. And what we're going to see here is that diakrino is involved in discerning, speaking of the Passover elements, the bread and wine. And that's what we'll be talking about as we come to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's begin in verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." So Passover and its great importance is about memorializing the death of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. And we know all about the foot washing and everything else that goes on with Passover, about how the foot washing, to be a part of Christ, we have to lay our lives down for each other. We need to recognize who the body of Christ is. We need to love the brethren. All of that's encompassed in this thinking. We do show the Lord's death till it comes. What's the Lord's death mean? You could write a book on what the Lord's death means. But we eat the bread and we drink the cup, and that shows the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Okay, it's like saying, if we come in there just to drink some wine and to have a good time, see our buddy, slap them on the back, and we're sinning, we're not repentant, at this time when we are at Passover renewing our baptismal covenant, because that's what you do at Passover, you get cleaned up again with the foot washing, just like you got cleaned up when you went underwater, like we saw Peter do with the Cornelius and the Gentiles in the previous tape. So if you take it unworthily, you're guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You kill Jesus Christ anew, and there's no more sacrifice, we're told elsewhere, if you do that. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. So here's what you do. Let a man examine himself. So you do that before Passover. You judge, am I doing better? Do I still have the same old sins in my life? Do I have the same shortcomings? Am I doing any better? Have I drawn any closer to God? Let a man examine himself, verse 28. And so then, let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. You got to be in a right mind, a right heart, right attitude to take Passover, a repentant attitude, a cleaned up like on the day of your baptism attitude. Okay, verse 29. This is the big verse that we're going to look at today. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, that's somebody that didn't examine themselves, that still has sin in their life, that still has a party attitude, that still has no use for some of the other brethren in the body of Christ. You get that catecrino that we saw, remember? We saw diacrino, catecrino. If you don't discern, then you're damned, you're condemned. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation. So Paul's reiterating diacrino, catecrino, again to us, to drive it home. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Why? How? Not discerning. Diacrino again, that word discerning is diacrino. Not discerning the Lord's body. You're not discerning who the people of God are. You're not discerning who the body of Christ is. Verse 29 says, he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning, because he's not discerning. He's not diacrino, the Lord's body. We know who the Lord's body is. That's all the brethren. In the tale of two churches, all of those who are led by God's Holy Spirit, they are the body. Whether they're in the big groups, the separated groups, the small groups, the hidden groups, the scattered groups, Jesus Christ has only one body. When he looks down from his heavenly throne, seated at the Father's right hand, he doesn't see a church divided by artificial barriers. He sees his one body, his one group of people that are led by the Father's Spirit that goes through Jesus Christ. They are led by the Spirit. They're converted. They're his people. That's who he sees. Not the false people at church. Not these ones that are drinking and eating damnation to themselves. They have ruled themselves out as being God's people. If that's who you are, you get damnation for not discerning who the Lord's people, the Lord's body is. Let me read some other translations just to drive the point home. Doesn't matter whose translations they are. I grab these offline. If you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, or when you're not honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Another translation. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. Another translation. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, I kind of like this one. If you fail to understand that you are, I would add, a part of the body of the Lord, you condemn yourself by taking the Passover unworthily. That's pretty good. Let's go on now. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. Now here's what happens. Here's what God says happens. Some people are going to be sick. Some people are going to die. Why is that? Let's read it, verse 30. For this cause, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning all of the people, who the people are in the Lord's body. If you don't discern, if you don't diacrino who those people are, for that cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many, not just a few, many sleep. That means they have died. This is me speaking, and this is not the word of God. But it must work something like this. I try to figure out, why would God let some people get sick over taking the Passover unworthily like this? Not just us, we're the big church, we'll take it, and we don't care about the little church, or we don't want to be with those people because they're not like us, or whatever. Why would God let them get sick? Why would God let them die? It's because they're showing by their conduct, by their demeanor, by their attitude, by their heart, that they're not a part of the body of Christ. God takes care of His people. Time and chance do not happen to the people of God. When God calls you, He will complete the good work that He begins in you. But if you're just there by accident, so suppose a heathen man comes to church services with you and he eats some bread and wine, that doesn't give him salvation. It doesn't work that way. He's going to have time and chance happen to him. He could get killed that afternoon in a car wreck going home because God's not needing him, using him, bringing him to salvation, growing him in character, not reconciling with him. God's doing that only with the body of Christ, the people of God. The people that God's working with, they will live their lives, and when they are converted and they die, that's because God is finished with them. He is satisfied. He's ready for them to teach, to preach, and to say, this is the way, walk you in it in the millennium. God has finished their course, and they die in due time. But if they die an untimely death, it is because they have no part. Go back and read John 13, the foot washing, where Christ tells Peter, you have no part with me unless you go through this and recognize that you have to lay your life down for the brethren. Those who have no part with God, time and chance happens to them. So what Christ is saying through Paul here in verse 30, for this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and sleep. They're not being healed. They're not being saved. They're going to die in an untimely way because God has no part with them. They're not being used of God. Now, I don't know if you can think back or not, brethren, but I have seen enemies of God's people die untimely death. It could be brain cancer. It could be MRSA. It could be boils. It could be infections. It could be anything because they're not being covered by the blood of Christ and the protection of God. And God's not working with them anymore to bring them to perfection. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. So discerning who God's people are. And what's implied by that, knowing them, loving them, corresponding with them, helping them, laying your life down so they can be in the kingdom, all of those things are important. That's how important diakrino is, discerning. So we go back and we look at all the meanings of discerning. It's just like Hoss Cartwright. You go through and you decide, these are the people of God on this side, these are the people in the world. You treat the people of God a certain way. And if you don't, you have made your choice. You have made your judgment, krino. And so if you make the wrong choice, it's katakrino, damnation, condemnation. If it's diakrino in the right way, then you're a part of what God is doing. It says in verse 31, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Again, different ways of using the word krino and diakrino. If we would judge, verse 31, ourselves, that's diakrino again. Strong's Concordance number 1252. We should not be judged. At the end of that verse is just plain krino, judged, condemned. Okay, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This talks about living our Christian lives the way that we should. Verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. Okay, who's that? That's the side that diakrino, has gone through. And you're on the side that walks with God, that pleases God. And that you abound more and more. You're not on the side that was divided out, discerned out. You see, there's a clear choice to be made. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 5. Not in the longing desire for that which is forbidden, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Can you picture this diakrino being worked out here, brethren, where there's a parting, a differ, in the ways. There's two sides to the coin, two sides to the story. That's what Diocrino's talking about. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God is not pleased at all. Woe to the shepherds that cruelly treat his people in harsh and heavy ways. Yes, we might be a part of the ones that have been pressed out of the congregations, disfellowshipped, fired, marked, suspended. Have a lot of good words they can use when they get rid of you. But brethren, keep this in mind. And this is the good news. This is the news that I want to share with the brethren who feel, I can't do it anymore. I can't take it anymore. They've been too evil to me. They've taken everything out of me. I have nothing else to give. The Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Let's look at the words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12. God knows everything. That goes without saying. But God is also the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. He's been here like me and you. He's been tempted, as I mentioned a while back. He's been tempted like us, tried like us. He didn't fall. He didn't sin. Luke 12 and verse 2. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing hid that shall not be known. Those who have abused you, brethren, are not getting away with anything. Don't ever say they got off scot-free. They got a raise. They got a promotion. They got the big car. They got the big job. They got the severance pay. They got the retirement pay. Don't worry about that. Jesus Christ is going to take care of all of that. Verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear, in the closets, you whispered where nobody could hear it, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body. Look, God's taking care of us. If we go, that's because God's ready for us to go. And after that, there's nothing else they can do. You ever wonder what a murderer in a vicious rage does when he kills somebody? He can't torture him. He can't shoot him for any good anymore. There's nothing more they can do. But, verse 5, I will forewarn you who you should fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast you into the grave. Yes, I say unto you, fear him. Yeah, we're going to answer to Jesus Christ. So, let me go back over this 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. By addressing division within the church, Paul shows that not only our healing, but our very salvation depends on our truly caring for one another. Discerning. Go back and look at all of those ministers, all of those translations, all of those words, whether it was the contending, whether it was the differing, whether it was the doubting. Try to make all of those come in and merge with one thought. Diacrino. The care for one another, the discerning who the people are, not forgetting them, not abusing them. That's what God says. Do not make a mistake when you're dealing with God's people. He is the avenger of the brethren. Scripture does not allow for Christians to coexist without properly relating to one another. If you know someone is a Christian, wave at them. Smile at them, say hi, and if needs be, die for them so that they can be in the kingdom. It is clear that for us to have a right relationship with God, it is first necessary to get right with those other people. I am appalled that nobody, you can put that nobody in quotes if you know somebody that's doing it, nobody is trying to get right with others in the big groups, the big bunches that fell off of worldwide. Jesus tells us that as Christians, our priority must be to reconcile, not only with God, but also with one another. Christ taught that reconciliation has a higher priority either than church attendance. You can read about that in Matthew 5 and verse 24 where it says, be reconciled to your brother first, then come and bring your offerings and your gifts and your tithes and so forth. Now, I understand, brethren, you can't reconcile with everybody. There are some people that just hate your guts. And you can say or do until the cows come home in front of them. They're not going to hear you. They've tuned you out. You're on their bad list. And you can't reconcile with them. You have to be ready to reconcile, even if they're not. And God will judge that situation. And when we stand before Christ, He'll say, did you do everything you could to bring about reconciliation? There's some people that just want to be better than you, be meaner than you, be over you, tell you where to get off and those kind of things. You can't reconcile with everybody. But we have to try, and we have to have an attitude of reconciliation. It's even more important than our offerings, and we know how important they are. And so since our unity with the Father and the Son, that reconciliation begins at baptism, so does our unity with one another. When we look around and we see people that are baptized and led by God's Holy Spirit, they are brothers to Jesus Christ. And if we're brothers to Jesus Christ, we're brothers with one another. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit, there's only one Spirit, that's the life of God, the power of God, the discernment of God, the compassion and mercy and healing of God, all of those things. One Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. How much more clearly could it be written? Brethren, become unified spiritually in one Spirit, one body of Christ. You know, by definition, it's absolutely impossible to have Christian love for only a part of the body of Christ. You can't tell somebody, I love half of you. We cannot serve some brethren while neglecting other brethren. Damnation comes from not discerning the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. Christ's body was one sacrifice. He didn't die so that part of His body could cover our spiritual sins and then part of His body would cover some made-up thing like physical sin. No, Jesus Christ was one sacrifice. You can't neglect any of the brethren. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 2, reading through to verse 4, we read, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another, forbearing one another. There's no exclusions to that. In love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. That's what happened back there in 1 Corinthians 11:29. They weren't keeping the unity of the Spirit. They rule out fellowshipping with some people, and they're happy and smug to leave some people out. They'll answer to God for that. Pray God they'll wake up. They're all getting old. The leaders of those groups are getting old, and they're starting to drop like flies. Some of them have already died, and they wouldn't join up with others unless they were the head, the chief, the spear point. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So, brethren, it's very clear what God's intent is, that people learn to live, to love, to work, to associate together. God wants us to learn how to live with one another now so that we'll know how to live with Him for all eternity. We can't hate, despise, or reject any of the saints. Why? Because that behavior defines not discerning the Lord's body. And we see that katakrino, damnation, condemnation goes with not discerning the Lord's body. Who are the people of God? Who are led by God's Holy Spirit? We can't rule out any of them, whether they live in Africa or Kuala Lumpur, halfway to the North Pole or South. We can't rule anybody out because God has only one, Jesus Christ has only one body. We are obligated to extend our realm of fellowship to include all who are led by God's Holy Spirit, who have the earnest of God's Holy Spirit. So Paul characterized our self-examination, the way we discern ourselves. Remember we read, if we would discern ourselves, you know, cut through all of the things that shouldn't be there, divide, make a difference, cut through it, self-examination properly as discerning the Lord's body. If we would judge ourselves, diakrino, ourselves, we won't be condemned. Our healing depends on understanding the full extent of that scripture, because if we don't, we'll be weak, we'll be sick, and some of us will die. So there's a direct correlation between divine healing and the unity and the oneness that we share with all the children of God who constitute the Lord's body. Paul said that sickness, weakness, and death, not healing, was a result of partaking the Passover while division existed among the saints. Those brethren who Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians 11, all that division in the church, they had not discerned who the Lord's body was, because there was partiality between the brethren. We're reconciled to God the Father by the death of His Son. Jesus was sent to this earth not only to be sacrificed unto death and raised to life, but in order to enable all mankind eventually to be reconciled to God the Father. That's after their disobedient choice in the Garden of Eden when they took of the forbidden fruit. God the Father, He was in Jesus Christ making reconciliation possible, bringing it about. But He has charged us also to be reconcilers and peacemakers with all the brethren as well. Our healing depends on it. Brethren, the church is divided. We are not prepared to meet Jesus Christ. We are going to be shamefaced with Jesus when Jesus Christ returns. And we'll all see Him coming back if we're still alive. If we have some people over on the other side of town that we don't deal with, and Jesus will say, "Where are your brother?" And you go, "I hadn't talked to him in 30 years. It's not going to cut it. Paul explains to some people what God's Holy Spirit imparts to them. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, it talks about the discerning of spirits. It's one of the gifts that God gives. It's a little bit different word there. It's diakrisis that we saw, that 1253 again. But discerning the spirits. Some people are given the gift of discerning attitudes, the mental disposition of somebody else, able to differentiate between pure hearts and ulterior motives. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to look at two more examples of how God Himself gives us the example of being one who discerns. God is a perfect discerner. We saw a few examples of that, but I want to cover a few more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and pick it up in verse 11, because this is a difficult and a technical sermon that I'm giving today, because these words, diakrino, anakrino, katakrino, they all have to do with judging and discerning and making a difference and cutting through the muck and the mire and getting down to the bottom of things and making a difference. We read in Hebrews 5 and verse 11, just breaking into the thought, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. And whenever I read these verses here, I think, oh no, if I was there with Paul and he's just going to give me some milk today. Well, brethren, today I'm trying to give us some meat. I'm trying to get down to the nitty gritty, to the bottom line. And if salvation and condemnation is not the bottom line, I don't know what it is. But Paul is saying, look, there's some hard things to explain in the scripture. And some people are dull of hearing. And I can't help but realize that the whole church is asleep and dull of hearing when we remain so divided and we won't bury the hatchet and get together. We all have to have our own big headquarters. We have to have our own big setups and so forth. and we can't have any time for the other people. It's just too important to us. I believe it's an idolatry. It's worshiping something in an inordinate way. Let's get back to the meat of the word. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For when the time comes that you ought to be teachers. He's talking to us, brethren. He was talking to the church back then. He's talking to us. You have need that one teach you, starting all over again, what are the first principles of the oracles of God? And are you have become such as need milk and not strong meat. Well, brethren, let's dish up some strong meat today. Big, thick, juicy steak. See if we can chew it up and swallow it. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's still a baby. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. Mark that one in your Bible, brethren. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. If we live by the commandments of God, by the word of God, by the love of one another, it'll help us grow up so that we can handle some of the deep things that are in the scriptures. We have our senses exercised to discern. That's the Greek word 1253, that ending. We can discern both good and evil. We'll be right up there with Horace Cartwright. We'll finally put it together. Let's go in closing today, brethren. Let's go to Psalm 139. I want to read a section here that to me shows King David understood God's perfect discernment and how God discerned David, discerned what his attitude was, who he was, what he was made of. Why did King David become a man after God's own heart? God could cut through his mind and right into his heart, as Horace Cartwright would say. God could discern the thoughts, the feelings, and everything about a person, right down to the marrow and the bone. Listen, you can read along with me, brethren. And we'll close with this section of Scripture here. And, I have one little closing, but let's go through Psalm 139. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. That's a part of diakrino. Verse 2, you know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You know the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 3, you compass my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Not only do you go right through, you go all around. Compass means to go all the way around. My path and my laying down and acquainted with all my ways. You know, every jot and tittle about me, what David says. We're looking at God's discernment. Verse 4. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, you know it all together. You know what's coming out of my mouth, what's coming out of my heart. Verse 5. For you have beset me behind and before, and you've laid your hand on me. Not only David, God has a purpose in our lives as well, brethren. He says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful, it's too great, it's too astounding for me. It's so high, I can't attain to it. It goes over my head. I know it's there. I can almost grasp it, but it's too wonderful. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David is saying, if I wanted to get away, where would I go? How could I get away from you? You know where I'm going before I know where I'm going. You know what I'm going to do even before I do. Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you're there too. Can't dig a hole deep enough. Can't fly high enough. Get away from God. Verse 9, he's kind of dreaming. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me, protected, guided, cared for. Brethren, God is guiding us, is bringing us to the point where we can understand, where we can discern. And then once we do, we are accountable totally to God for what we know. Think of it this way. When you're babysitting, you're responsible for that little kid. Now that you're grown and receiving meat, you're responsible for those brethren, each other, all others. You know, that's a lot on your plate, responsible for all others. As God makes it possible, we are to be our brother's keeper. We are to discern who the Lord's body is. Who are those people? To know them, to love them, and to be co-saviors with Christ, to help them into the kingdom of God. Verse 11, David says, if I say, surely the darkness shall hide me, cover me, you won't know where I'm at. Even the night shall be light about me. We're growing towards the light. Verse 12, yes, the darkness isn't able to hide you from me, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God has perfect discernment. We're to have diakrino. We're to discern who the people of God are, who the body of Christ is. Let me just read you a little part here. You can turn over to 1 Chronicles 28 if you want to. Here's what David told his son Solomon. It's very spiritual, and you can see the conversion of David in these words. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. David says to Solomon, and you, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of your father. And David is saying, know my God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it points right to God the Father too. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts. What does that mean? The Lord searches all hearts. That's God's perfect discernment. God knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He reins us in. He leads us where we should go. He searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. I guess David is saying to Solomon, don't try to pull anything. Don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows intimately what is going on. He knows everything. And so therefore, if, I'm still in verse 9 towards the end, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. It's like in John 21, verse 17, where Peter says to Jesus, he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So, brethren, in these latter days, when it is so important, because time is running short for all of us, I hope you believe it and I hope you know it, that God has given us the most precious jewel of all, our faith, our salvation, our relationship with him, his Spirit in us to guide us and make us who we are. But let's discern the fact. Let's cut through all of the brouhaha. We are responsible for what we know. We need to choose diakrino or katakrino. We don't want damnation. We want the love, the eternity with God, the Father, in Jesus Christ. And it all comes down to serving God as we serve one another. Thanks for bearing with me. I wanted to get that off my chest a little bit because these latter days are upon us and time is very short. So in closing, let me say, let us discern who the body of Christ is.